It is time for Heroic Horns and Thing Not a Thing, everyone's favorite game show where we take a look at all the things that people are upset about on social media right now and we determine if they are in fact a thing or if they're not really a thing. This is one of my favorite times. This is my favorite time of the week here. I've got actually, there's a lot of things. I mean, it is if other people are listening and they're like, what about my time on the week?
It's
like,
my favorite thing.
I like
the whole week.
There's a lot of competitors for my favorite time of the week, but this is rapidly rising towards the top.
Because you never know what you're going to get.
You never know what you're going to get.
Just like a bowl of soup. It's like a box of chocolates and a bowl of soup.
What soup do you make where you don't know what you're going to get? It says what it is on the side of the can, doesn't it?
No, not when you make soup, Aaron.
Well, then it says what it says on the ingredients. No.
The ingredients are where...
Where do you shop?
Look, this is... when you make soup, what you do is you open your refrigerator and you look at the produce and you say, okay, what's about to go?
Gotcha.
It's going to be that kind of soup.
So it's like you don't know when you start to make the soup what you're going to get.
Yeah. I mean,
you got to start with what you got. Okay.
You know, that's a thing.
All right.
I made French onion soup the other night. It was
pretty good. And just the ability to make French onion soup is impressive.
Well, you know, I married a French guy who doesn't speak French. I've told you this before.
Yeah. Is French onion soup actually French or is it like French fries?
Well, I will tell
you. Or French toast.
It involves a little wine. A lot of long cooking with butter and olive oil.
Okay, this is pretty French sounding so far.
You use a baguette and a lot of cheese.
Okay.
Do you think it's French?
I think it's French.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
I think the olive oil was the least French component of
that
whole recipe.
That's probably right. That's just a regional thing.
French, I guess, with a little Italian flavor or Greek or whatever.
You use the best oil. That's what you're going to use.
All right.
So that's what it is.
All right. First thing, not a thing. Where do you want to start? Social media?
Let's start with, it all starts and ends with social media.
Yes.
Right. Wow, wow, wow. Last night for 11 beautiful minutes, if you were on Twitter and went to look at Donald Trump's Twitter feed.
If you were on Twitter for 11 minutes, you were one up on Trump. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you just saw this beautiful screen that said, @RealDonaldTrump does not exist.
That turned out to be a Twitter employee who is leaving their
job, or a Twitter employee on that employee's last day at work.
Yeah. Decided to deactivate.
They first said that this is something that this employee did on their last day of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then this morning they said it was an error.
That's interesting.
You know, Twitter has made like three statements about this, and each has been more intriguing than the one before.
Man, you'd think that Twitter would be the one organization that would know better than to do that, because whenever anyone else does it, the complaints about it go to Twitter first.
Go straight to Twitter first. And, you know, honestly, at least what I've been reading of the 7 million tweets that I've read about this, almost all of them have been, Twitter, what is wrong with you? Why did you reactivate the account? And, you know, it's a fair question.
I gotta say,
because he has violated their terms of service many, many times.
Every one of us, whether we like our jobs or not, we either currently have or at some point we have had this fantasy of just how I'm going to spectacularly quit my job. Whoever that person is that walked out the door and deactivated Donald Trump's Twitter feed, that guy won the internet as far as spectacularly walking out the door. The way that I found out about this last night
was that I saw a tweet from former Congressman John Dingell, who is absolutely a fascinating guy on Twitter, very pithy. And he retweeted the screen grab of the @RealDonaldTrump does not exist.
Yeah.
And he said, America, please hire this person. He retweeted the one with that screen grab and Twitter's explanation saying that an employee on their last day of work had done this. And he said, America, please hire this person. And I thought, let me tell you, that's going to break the internet when that person comes out and says, I'm the former Twitter employee who did this. I was angry. I was clumsy. I spilled my coffee on my keyboard, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
That person's got a book deal waiting for them.
I tripped and fell on the keyboard, and I just hit the delete button, and one thing led to
another.
The most
American did that, let me tell you.
I tried to hit Control Z, and it just made it worse.
It just made it worse. And then that
Turns out I was
on
POTUS, a Mac.
Right. Yeah. Oh, no. What happens on a Mac when you hit Control Z?
Is there even a control button on
a
Mac?
Does a picture of Jay-Z pop up
probably,
or something?
Yeah,
probably.
I'm definitely a PC guy.
No, Beyonce
pops up. Okay.
That's who controls
Control Z.
Okay.
Yeah, nice.
Did you get that? Did you see what I did there?
That was good. That was good. Okay, so social media...
Social media. So
you had a different thing for social media.
I think a lot of people are wondering. I think it falls into the maybe so what category that I don't think people understand. The Russian hack. Mm-hmm. It's fair to call it a hack. And what does it mean that the Russians broke into boards of elections and accessed the voter registration lists? And I don't think that people are necessarily connecting that with interference in the election process itself.
Yeah.
And I think if they understood that better, they might realize that this has been an attack, an ongoing, continuous attack that continues today on our democratic process itself and on democracy as a concept itself. In order to have democracy, democracy is a lot like banking. Okay, I bet you never heard that before.
Insofar as
for either of them to work, you need public trust.
Yes.
And you know, in the 20s, we learned what happened when people don't trust the bank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have $100 on deposit in the bank, but you want to be able to go and get a loan and get a loan for $1,000 from the bank.
Right.
You have to have a lot of people with deposits in the bank to be able to move money around.
Yep.
And you have to be able to trust the bank that... Should you need to go get all of your money out for an emergency or whatever, that you could, but that only works if it's only a small percentage of people with deposits.
If there's a run on the bank, then that.
But if everybody wants to get their money out, then nobody's going to get all of it.
And then Jimmy Stewart has to stand on a table and say, "Your money's in his house."
That's right, Mr. Martini, pour one for everyone. That's right. So that's a very important part.
So what we're seeing now is a run on democracy. Is that what you're?
We're kind of seeing a run on democracy and. Everything that people hear, they're skeptical of and they're worried about. They don't know if they want to trust the direct electoral process. So what happens if they get access to these voter lists? Well, if they can get into the computer systems where these lists are kept, they get into your profile as a voter.
Right.
They can change your street address. They can change your age, your date of birth, as it's registered in your voter registration. Then when you go to vote, and they say, great to see you today, Mr. Keck. Would you verify your address?
Right.
And you say, well, I'm always at University Place. I never really go home. And you give them your home address, and they say, well, that's not what it says here.
Right.
And then maybe, depending on what state you live in, maybe you get a provisional ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you don't.
Yeah.
Now, in order to swing the election by doing that, you go to districts that are heavily Democratic. You look at profiles that might say the age or the race of the person in that profile, and then you change those so that you disenfranchise specific groups of voters and suppress the vote.
Yeah. And all of this is theoretical at this point because the hacking happened, but the changing didn't, right? Like for
I
all of that, we...
You know what? Do you know that? Because I don't know
what,
that.
What I know is that for everything that we have talked about in terms of hacking of the 2016 election, and I would say that that is a thing regardless of, of if anyone got disenfranchised because, first of all, it opens up the possibility for the future, which is serious and needs to be addressed before it becomes an even bigger issue.
The access itself.
The access itself is a problem, and it's illegal. Like, even if it's not a problem, there is a law against it. You punish the people who break the law. And the thing in the news this week is Facebook got like 126 million people got exposed to phony Russian news.
And you know,
which again, the immediate react, the immediate kind of pushback as reaction was, it didn't change anyone's vote. Everyone went to the polls and voted. But we know that words matter. Well, we know that when people see a news story, it affects the way that they look at the issue that's being discussed. And we know that as much as we tell people, for the love of God, when you're on the internet and you're reading a news story, do not read the comment thread, because it is a cesspool full of horrible comments, with the one exception of like Deadspin, which is actually a really good comment thread, just because it's full of puns. It's great. But in general, like, the comment thread is terrible. Don't ever read it. And we know that people do, and when they do, it makes them feel differently about the story that they just read. Like, it undermines their confidence in their reporting. And that changes the extent to which. So Facebook can say we're not a news outlet, or Alex Jones, when his custody battle is going up, he can get on and say, oh, I'm just an entertainer, no one should listen to me. But he's got a giant microphone. When he speaks, people do listen. When they listen, it affects the way that they think. So words matter, even if it doesn't. Even if you don't have Russian operatives walking into the polling booth with you and holding your hand and compelling you to vote a certain way, it does make a difference. In the case of the hacking here, the one thing that I have not seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, you might have seen this or someone else have, but I haven't seen any instances of someone in 2016 going to the polls and being turned away because we see that a vote has already been cast in your name, or your date of birth is not the date that you're given to us, or something along those lines.
Yeah, and I don't know how we would be seeing the tracking for that. I feel like if it happened to
enough people, it would have been in the news somewhere.
I would like to think that also. I know that Pennsylvania, we've talked about this before, extremely vulnerable because all of their voting is only on Election Day.
Right.
And the slam of activity for states that still have that makes them more vulnerable. But I'm with you. I would put myself into the, I haven't heard that. I think that would get onto our radar. And I hope that those who study these things are studying this and doing so thoughtfully.
Yes.
The other thing I'd want to add about the Russian ads on Facebook and all that, I think that one of the other reasons that people discount that is they say, well, you know, I'm not going to listen to a Russian ad and whatever. They don't look like Russian ads.
Yeah.
They look like a guy from New Jersey who's sounding off about what he thinks that your friends shared and so on and so on.
Well, I think people believe
it's not some guy with a thick Russian accent sounding like Boris.
But I think people would see the ad from the guy from New Jersey and they would think, oh, I'm not going to be swayed by, I'm not the sort of person who would be swayed by ads. That's other people. It's not me. I'm smart.
As long as
I'm
they think
sophisticated.
It's an ad, yeah.
Yeah. Or even if it's, or yeah, if they think it's an ad, they'll think, oh, I'm not going to be swayed by that. But then they are, because words do matter. And even if we think that we're above this and we're sophisticated and I know better, it still affects us.
And it does, Aaron, because also out there in the vapor were lots and lots and lots of fake news stories that were extremely damaging to Hillary Clinton, who said herself, if I were a voter and I just kept hearing this and I was just bombarded with this message again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the director of the FBI came out and said, yeah, well, we're looking into this thing with the emails. We'll let you know what we find. You know, it's reasonable doubt. I mean, it's, if it were a case in front of a judge, you know, or a jury, it's reasonable to think that some people are going to be put back into the, oh, I don't know, category.
Yeah.
And that's not unreasonable.
Didn't affect the outcome of the election, it's illegal activity.
Right.
And
It's extremely threatening
and
to the process.
And it's extremely threatening
That's my
to the
thing.
Process, yeah.
You know, I'm over the she lost and maybe she shouldn't have thing.
Yeah.
I am very, very concerned about the extreme separation between the parties and people who affiliate themselves with the parties and the process itself, and that I'm hearing less and less from elected officials about what ought to be the absolutely sacrosanct middle place of course we have to protect our electoral process.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. That's not controversial. And it's becoming so politicized, which is Russia's objective.
Who's on the water cooler tonight?
You know, you can't believe I get this guy as often as I do.
Yeah.
It's an unbelievable score. I have a booking agent who works here at the station who I am slipping $20 bills to, like you can't believe. It is you.
Oh, wow.
It is you. It's Dr. Aaron Keck.
How come I'm not getting any of these
$20
bills?
You know, I just don't know. I think somebody's... I think we need to speak to the guy at the city desk.
Uh-huh.
He's not sharing the wealth.
All right.
And we still didn't get to our third topic, but, you know, that's okay.
That's good.
Yeah, that's
okay. Yeah, we're okay. We've got a lot of topics on the water cooler that we're going to cover this weekend.
Yes.
So
we,
it was actually a really good conversation. It might have been pre-recorded.
We really kind of did go a mile deep this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it's
a good show.
Cool.
Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Sunday at 1 o'clock. Tune in. Gene Bolduc, thank you so much.
Thank you.